Planet FM is a platform that champions diversity. Not all our programs reflect the views of the station. We encourage you to consider a wide range of information from trusted sources when making decisions about your health.
Kia ora, greetings and welcome to Green Planet FM 104.6. I am Tim Lynch and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. What is water? This transparent fluid that nourishes all biota on planet Earth, so much so that over billions of years, it's been the underlying cellular building system of our magnificent biosphere. This membrane around our planet that allows all life to thrive and grow. We know the chemical equation as H2O, two hydrogen molecules to one oxygen molecule, and that hydrogen is the most common gas in the universe. Our planet's oceans hold 97% of surface water. Glaciers and polar ice caps, 2.4%, and other land surface water such as rivers, lakes, and ponds, only 0.6%. We have only a minute amount for human use. Water has this amazing capacity to morph into three forms: frozen as ice, flowing as liquid, and floating as an invisible gas. Water cannot be made, it can only be reconstituted, and has been held as a sacred element for millennia and used in ceremonies and many religions as it personifies the physical to the non-physical and back again, being both solid and then non-solid to once again become solid. Yes, it's a truly marvelous element. Today we're on the way to crisis, whilst others say we are already in the middle of one. No matter what, water is becoming a vital resource that is causing huge concern, especially for those countries that are downstream and are at the diminishing end of an increasingly polluted river catchment area due to damming, irrigation, and the increasing dumping of toxic waste by countries higher up the river source. And of course, we have now radioactive elements seeping into the Pacific Ocean, and we do not know the ramifications of this very serious situation. Yet today, many indigenous people see water as an actual entity or being. The father of water, the great Austrian Victor Schellberger, a naturalist and the inventor of what he called implosion technology, developed his own theories based on fluidic vortices when up in the foothills of the Austrian Alps, where often he used to lie down on the riverbank and relaxing, detach his consciousness from his body and become one with the river. It is in this state that he obtained a profound knowingness of water and of vortices working in tandem with lunar forces. However, when Hitler came to power, he demanded and forced Schellberger to work on secret energy systems and propulsion units based on water technologies. There is so much to learn about water. The best water to drink is spring water as it bubbles to the surface. It is known as mature water. Other water pumped up from below the surface is not mature water. Water also can carry memory, and though modern day scientists have yet to understand this, the fact that the British royal family have been using homeopathic tinctures for over 100 years shows that frequency can be programmed into water and diluted down again and again, yet it retains the original memory. Masaru Emoto, the Japanese professor, also shows pictures of frozen water crystals of sheer beauty when love is invoked, and convoluted dark shapes when negative statements are spoken to water. The imperative is for all families to drink high quality, pure, fresh water every day, water that is vital, that has life force. If you are drinking sanitized water from your municipal supply, you are in many ways doing your health and your life a disservice. Remember, water is sacred. In the studio this morning, I have Mike O'Donnell, who comes from Pairoa at the joining of the Coromandel and the Kaimai Ranges that separate the Bay of Plenty from the Hauraki Plains and Waikato here in New Zealand. Mike is affectionately known as the Waterman. He was born in Kirirua, Hamilton, and is now deeply immersed in Aotearoa New Zealand, its water, its culture, and his affiliation with Māori. Mike is a gifted worker in clay, an ecologist working with sacredness of water and the virtues of living as a man, father, a grandfather, a gardener, a singer of songs, and storyteller. So kia ora, Mike. Welcome to the program this morning.
Kia ora, Tim. Kia ora koutou. Ki ngā maunga, tamaki makaurau, ki ngā awa, ki te moana nui a kiwa, ki ngā tangata whenua, ki ngā tūpuna, tēnā koutou katoa. Kia ora tātou. Greetings, Tim. Really good to be here. We slipped in just in the nick of time, so found ourselves here.
The beauty of affiliating with an Indigenous culture in today's world, Mike, is that there's karakia in the greeting and the acknowledgement of something greater that we belong to. Mm. And I just want to say thank you and honour you for your little karakia of welcome to this place. It's so important, isn't it?
It is, Tim. We shouldn't be afraid of that, because that memory resides in us all. In fact, in this land there is an old way that is within us all that is kept alive. And we should never be afraid of what is the challenge of this land. I believe the most magnificent challenge, which can be held quite abruptly or softly, it's the challenge held in the words ko waikwe, and in a rough way can mean, who the bloody hell do you think you are? Or it can mean, who are you? Where do you come from? What is your memory? And what is your orders? And to be challenged in this land, we must understand that when you're on the meeting house and you're given to stand up to speak and you're challenged, to be challenged isn't to put you down. It's not to put you down, it's to put you up on what they call the paepae. And the paepae is the threshold where the seed of our memory is held, and where our sense of wairua and spirit and emotion will mix with that seed and our memory will lift. And for a lot of us to be challenged is, the fact is, we can't find the words to talk to and from the source of our ancestors and our origin. So at first we might feel quite humiliated or quite threatened. But I remember the first time I was challenged on the marae in Hauraki years and years ago, and I'm not usually lost for words, but I was lost for words. And in fact, I couldn't bring the words up to speak to and from the source of my Indigenous being. And I just began to cry. And that's all that could come up in me. The words just weren't there. I had the feeling, I had a sense of inner knowing, but just the tears came up and poured out of me. And I had a few words, and then I sat down beside our kuia there in Hauraki, Auntie Nancy, and I turned to her and I said, I'm sorry, I couldn't reply. And I said, look at me, Auntie, I'm just shaking. And she said, whaha wairua. That vibration is your wairua. And your whai kōrero koro, your whai kōrero is the mihi, the words, the acknowledgement, the reply that's coming up in your tears. And she said, there's no need for you to apologize at all, koro. Have a look in the house. And when I looked up, everybody was replying. They were all crying. And they could feel the vibration of the memory of my waters. And this is what we forget, we have forgotten, that our tears are the key. It's by the tears that the seed of our memory swells fat. But we're in a world that has diminished and has abused those waters, our tears, to be a weakness. And so many of us, as men and as women, we were denigrated and not knowing in ourselves and those around us who were in fear of those waters talking. our tears talking, that even science now realises that those tears, one, they are of the same composition as the moana, the sea, the minerals and the salts in those tears, they're the same as the birth waters of our mother as she delivered us, and those tears are actually the most powerful healing water we have, for with those tears we release. And I'm sure so many of us have experienced in this, all of us have, when we hear a piece of music or we see a work of art beyond words and we go past it and it brings tears up into our eyes. What is that? And that is the whaikōrero, the waters, the memory talking from that work to us, and it taps into our source, our puna, our spring of origin. And so we have this conversation of our waters, our emotional body, our memory talking. And that's why we can see further now that what is happening on this beautiful, this amazing living organism, this planet, Mother Earth, Papa Tuanuku, however we see that in words, Gaia, whatever the words are, there are many words with us. And what we are seeing now is this reflection of our inner waters, our waters, and what is happening externally. And the waters of this macrocosm of this planet are a reflection in the unwellness of our waters and their unwellness internally. And our work is to open the memory up in those waters, to allow them to flow, and to be creative with them. Every creative being knows the emotional body. And in the ancient world of my old people would call these waters the black water, where you swim way, way down deep within yourself. And every creative person knows this. And you touch that realm of memory deep in those waters. And that's where the song, that's where the poem, that's where the sculpture, that work of art that talks to and from beyond words, inclusive to us all, that's where that memory is held. And today, Tim, as we went back into the institution here of Unitech, which once was an asylum, they would call it, as we know, a lunatic asylum, and we're right on a full moon right now. It was beautiful for me to be invited here as a clay worker for the national conference, and I bought this installation, what is called My Last Reply. It's the 13th piece, a requiem to the fish people. And to have that piece lying here in state in what was a lunatic asylum, it was known as that, that we are Luna, that piece has been lying here in state in its requiem, its soul song. And it has been talking to the walls and to all of the souls that still reside in this extraordinary place where our ancestors, our uncles and aunts, brothers and sisters, mothers, fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers, where so many of them in the past were brought here because they were not in a time where they could voice this. They were not allowed for their song, that song of, in this land we would say, Waiata, that mihi wairua, where that spirit, that soul within us, the memory of our waters could sing or could talk or orate. And so many of our previous generations were locked up in places like this. But we are brought into an amazing time of privilege. A privilege where we, as the children of those ones, are able to lift that memory now. For me to come here and bring my work here creatively and express that is an overwhelming privilege. And from that privilege, I'm always reminded that there is a responsibility. How we say that, the ability for us to respond. And Tim, I believe this is the time we're in. This earth does not need healing. We need the healing. And we have to start within ourselves. And this earth, I say to young people, this earth, every morning, if you were abused, let me put it to you, if you were abused and attacked and denigrated and ripped apart and raped and pillaged every day, would you be able to wake up in the morning and sing to those who did that? Well, this earth, every morning she sings us awake. And that to me is the master voice of a song. Of a song that gives us the deepest understanding of what compassion really is and what aroha, what love really is. That this earth gives us a song an opportunity to find that song to sing. At a time now when we're faced with such adversity all over this planet, we have two choices with this feeling we have. To be destructive with it in our reply, or to be creative with it in our reply. And this amazing teacher, this earth, this elder to us, not just this earth, but this sky also, all the realms of this universe, and that we are gardeners of this amazing seed called earth. And we are the water carriers, shaped of clay, water vessels shaped of clay, and we have our song. And that's why I refer to us as the fish people. That's who I work for. And you can go right through mythology, and I never used to know this, but it connects all these ancient lines. We are fish people. Our ocean is internalized, and we carry the memory of that origin. And this earth, right at this moment, is giving us the most magnificent opportunity to truly understand the low note and the high note of what is love. For love is not just a sweet thing to taste, it is also a bitter thing. And love is not just about stepping out in the light, as people say, it is about embracing the darkness. So in that, love is not just about papa, it is also about rangi. It's not just about the mother of our being, but the father of our being. And so we can step into that matriarchal and that patriarchal. For me, we're in a moment of time where we've been given an amazing opportunity where there has been so much separation, for literally to bring mum and dad back into that old meeting house of Wairua, these two flows of Aroha, and to make love and to celebrate that. That's what relationship is. We are challenged not to be put down, but to be put up on that pipe, on that threshold, all of us together. And this is beyond colour, it's beyond race. This whole earth is talking to us all inclusively right at this moment, because this is such an ancient journey. And we are of a generation where we've been given such a privilege to bring this awareness, this consciousness, and this subconsciousness back together in what really is love.
And Mike, today you live at the bottom of these ranges with a creek, a stream that runs out and talks to you as it passes down past your house.
Yeah.
This is where the fish people reside. This is where you hear the whispers of the creek, the stream talking to you. What is this memory? Many people are wanting to connect with who we really are and what we are here to do.
Yeah, kia ora, Tim. You know, as you said, I'm a Waikato boy. The Waikato is my birth river. At the source of the Waikato is Taupō Nui Arangi. That's the spring, Lake Taupō. And when I was a young fella being birthed in Hamilton, Kurikuriuroa, I didn't know all these things. I was just this little white fella, and I struggled. I struggled enormously. I was born with a disposition in life, as we all are, but some to greater or lesser degrees. And for me to survive as a little boy, I had to go down and escape, and I'd go down into the bush, and there was a little old creek known as Kurikuriuroa. I didn't know it then, but I'd go there eeling and getting the watercress and, you know, doing those things. And to survive in my disposition, because I had these, I'm a lunatic, you know, I'm affected by the lunar. We all are to varying degrees. And it's difficult to survive. And these days they would have called me all sorts of things, probably would have had the straitjacket on me, and I would have been in the asylum. Well, I was in the asylum, because asylum is a sacred place. And I went down by that creek, and I'd take my clothes off and put mud on my body, and I'd climb up in the trees, and I would just sit there. And I don't know, I never knew what happened, but I just felt okay in that realm. And at the same time, as a young boy, I was a front row prop, so you had to play the game.
In rugby.
In this inner and this outer world. And that's quite tricky, and we all know that. And then as I became older and I went through university and I left and became a clay worker, I found myself, by virtue of my mother and father, in Hauraki. and beside a small stream called Taraariki. And I remember the first day going there, and my whole body began to shake. And it was the memory, I know that now, it was the memory of what was within me and what was trying to vibrate its way out. And I know I've been given an extraordinary privilege, because Taraariki is this little stream that wasn't destroyed. You see, so many of our streams in Hauraki and right throughout this land of Aotearoa have been degraded and diminished. And where Taraariki flows into Ohinemuri, that river, Ohinemuri, which flows into Waiho and into Te Kapa Moana, the Hauraki Gulf, that river, Ohinemuri, was called a designated sludge canal right up into the 50s. And you could dump anything into it. Well, they used to take the carts of rubbish and dump it there. And of course, in those days, the mining companies, the cyanide and all of the waste was dumped in there. And especially cyanide, it deoxygenated those waters. And I heard the stories later on the marae from Uncle Dicky Rakana, Ki Hauraki, and he told these stories of how they'd see the fish. They'd see the fish swimming with their heads out of the water. In fact, even more poignant than that, they noticed that they went to work and dug into these mountains and pulled this stuff out, this gold and silver that these people were so hungry for and blinded by. And they'd see them go there and get all the gold out and dump in their river. And then on Sundays, what shocked them is they'd see them all go to their church. And there they would pray to their God. And then on Monday, after going to church and praying to their God, then they'd dump back in the river and all of the fish would swim with their heads out of the water. And I remember Uncle Dickie saying, you know, it made us wonder who their God is they pray to. And it made us wonder, what is their spirituality that they have in that meeting house they call a church? And my reply is, there we are on our knees, you know, praying to this God, the Father in the sky, while we shit and we crap and we destroy and we rape and we pillage this amazing Mother Earth. And in those early years when I fought with my community and alongside Tangata Whenua, years and years and years, 25 years of fighting to keep them out of here, and we were labelled as empty mining and all of that, and it came to a point in my life where I realised we were becoming a part of a destructive process in this attitude. And it made me very, very sick. In fact, it took me into where I got my knowledge from. It took me back into the black waters. I went way down deep in my moods. And I realised that we walk into these things called tribunal hearings, but nobody's listening. And my only recall, and it was Dr. Stella Penny, she is our first woman conservator, our kuia in Hauraki, some healers, and in particular my wife, who's passed away now, kia ora Julian Mary, kia ora tu iu e ho, o te ao Wairua. She's in another world now. But was that amazing woman as a healer who, as a man, helped me open up my waters, not be afraid. And in that, it brought me to a moment of realization that who was I to talk on behalf of these waters? Who was I to stand up in a tribunal hearing, talk on behalf of these mountains of Hauraki? Who was I to talk on behalf of the inanga, the little white bait, or the kaura, or the song of the kōkako, or tui, or the wingbeat of te kereru? Who was I to talk on behalf of these realms if I hadn't listened? And I went deep and deep into that, and no one could get me back, even my daughter Emily. I can remember her lamenting eyes looking at me because her father had gone somewhere else. But it took the woman to come and get me, and I loved the woman for their beautiful challenge, because they just simply said, you're no good to us like that. You need to show us who you are. You need to show us the shape of what you're going through, and Mike, you're a clay worker. And that was my first step and my first realization ever that I could use clay as a medium of primal language beyond words, and that I could shape this memory out, this dialogue. And from that came what is now 13 pieces, and the final pieces here has been resting here in a requiem here at Unitech in a little room. In a little room that once held people of disposition like myself. And that now I know that I've been able to deliver that memory. And all of that memory came simply by my surrendering to my own ignorance, which means I just didn't know. But that doesn't mean the memory's gone away. And I began to go up into the bush while my hands shaped the clay of this memory. And I would sit and I would just go into nothingness. What I now know is the space between the molecules. It's the space between the molecules that's greater than the sum total of the space and the molecules, which is kind of unbelievable until you realize that the space between the molecules is infinite. And the molecules are finite, they're defined. And I realize now that I've been able to fly kōrero to and from that world of the memory of water and the realms of nature, that there is this amazing conversation of this infinite within us to this infinite without. The symbiotic relationship, just like our breath within, our breath without, just like our waters within, our waters without. And I began to realize that I had surrendered to a realm of inclusion that we all belong to. And in this time, you see, I was whānau'd. I was adopted by Māori. They just arrived at our home out of nowhere because they heard my work talking. The sculptures journeyed. And wiki who whānau'd me, Wikatoria, Tākina, Ruka Harris, ki Hōkianga. When Mum, she turned to me and she said to me, because it was when she was about to die, to pass through into the other world, and I said to her, "Why are you going to take all this knowledge through with you? And none of it is written down. None of it has been passed on that way." And she turned to me in her last moments and she said, "Koro, the knowledge never ever goes away. It's always there. It is there if you are prepared to listen." I understand that really deeply within myself now. And I know that our waters are beginning to be tapped. It's only in the face of adversity that we are truly given the opportunity to practice. And I know we want to stay in a sweet realm because we love the sweet. We don't like the bitters. But let me just pass to you two words, one in particular. There's an ancient word called Mary. And it's a really old Hebrew word. And it means mother. It relates to matriarch. And not many people realize that Mary in Hebrew means bitter. And the wisdom of the healer of all our old, old lineage, all of us on this planet, the wisdom of the healer is to know that it is by us being humbled and swallowing that bitter taste of challenge that it renders life sweet. And literally, in those two medicines of the bitter note and the sweet note of love, we're talking about that realm of that old, old ancient matriarch and that old, old ancient patriarch. And I'm talking physics here. I'm talking quantum physics. And yet I know I'm talking indigenous lore of my old people. And I know that this is a language of inclusion, for we all know this in that indigenous realm. For we're entering into a time when we are being called to turn to one another, to recognize, to remember that old, old tribe of a realm that is simply indigenous being. And my fire wiki, sometimes she'd give me a whack, you know, because I'd say, "Oh, I'm Pākehā to this fire," and she'd give me a whack. And she took me into an understanding of the old, old way of what the word Māori really meant. And she said to me, she always reminded me, it's not about what you are called, not in the old realm. It's not about what shape you are, what colour you are, or even your mihi and your whakapapa, or what waka, or anything. What it has to do is with not what you are, but with how you are being in this moment. How you are being in this moment in your realizing that we are ordinary, we are ordinary. No more nor less, that means, than a part of everything, everything and nothing coexisting. And that it is in our nature and our naturalness to be at one with us. In this land, Te Ao Māori, I pay homage to our old people of this land who have kept this moment alive and this challenge. But this challenge and this reply doesn't just belong to this land. In fact, it doesn't belong to anyone. Even the word Kaltuk and ancient words Inuit, all those old words meant that same thing. There are many, many languages. However, I am a child of this land. I'm birthed of this land, and for some reason, the memory of my old people got carted way across here from displacement, thrown out, you know, chucked out, displaced. Now I look back at my old people, I'm so grateful for the silence we carried all this way, and that now we are the children to have this privilege, each one of us children, weaving our old, old memory. Old people would say, we're weaving the threads of silver and gold, the moon and the sun. And that memory will pull the tides of an old, old sea. Old, old sea. Children together weaving these threads. And we're pulling the memory of this old, old sea back to the surface. What I know the old people here have blessed in my work is here kakanoaranga out there. That seed of divinity. But let us never, ever forget that seed needs to be watered. And that's when the memory, the roots into this earth and the branches into the sky, and the fruit is born of a new generation. Kia ora tātou.
I'm speaking with Mike O'Donnell, poet, storyteller, worker in clay, communicator of water, and at one with Indigenous frequency. Kia ora, Mike. That's lovely. It's just truly lovely. I have heard just recently in the last 6 weeks that the word Māori also means memory. And so the imperative for us is to really recognize that we all can tap in to a greater being.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's never, you know, in my work, what I've loved about the old people of this land and my relationship in particular with our kuia, I mean, I didn't know any of this exists. And, you know, I love my ignorance. I pay deep respect to my ignorance, and I look at this whole cycle of what has happened in life. I look back at my old people, and we had such profound wisdom. And I look back at all these old cultures. And at that moment of any one of those cultures, when they began to assume the authority and think they were it, that's when it collapsed. When those cultures became institutions or religions and they assumed the authority and they became exclusive. When we claimed ownership over any of this realm of spirit and physicalness, then it began to collapse. And you can go back through eons of time, and where we became imbalanced, and not just patriarchally imbalanced. If you want to really journey back into the memory, matriarchally imbalanced. But you know what the magnificence is? If you want to know about balance, then you have to have the disposition of both those realms. For you can only journey as far within as you can journey without. You can only understand so far as below as above. You can only bring into this what everybody talks about, this light of consciousness, with how you have been able to surrender to the love of darkness. We are in a time where we need to decolonize our thinking process. But I want to say that everything is going according to the way it was always going to go and meant to go, for that's the way of a teacher. We're given disposition in the creative mind to know position, to reply. So we have to decolonize our concept of love, because this is just about love. It's just about aroha. It's about literally knowing the mother and the father of love, or the matriarch and the patriarch, the darkness, the light of love, whatever. The negative polarity, the positive polarity, the anode, the cathode, the quantum physics, the electron, proton. It's on and on and on. However, the key in all of this, I know in myself and the privilege of what I've been given to walk in, the key resides in our being water beings and that emotional body being reclaimed. But let me say this, to really understand the emotional body and the waters of our memory, to swim down that deep, you must have this. You must have breath, te moriora. To swim that deep in your memory, you must have breath. If you don't have breath, then you'll just drown in that emotion. And I know we all know those moments when we're touched that deeply emotionally. If we hold on to that short breath, we can drown in that emotion. Isn't it just beautiful, Tim, how old people, you know, they spoke about, you know, Mother Earth, Father Sky, Sister Water, Brother Breath. You know, when I journeyed into that, it's the oldest sign of the cross, and that's not a religious conception. That's like Mahoa Father, four winds, Mataha Father, four tides. You know, the old sign of the cross you'll find on our old vessels thousands and thousands of years ago. You find them carved there. It's about balance. And what I love is that it's kind of like our tupuna ancestors left these old vortexual marks. People think of spirals, and they left this old symbology of this cross that has little symbolism that one day, and I believe this deeply having walked, that one day our children would arrive or remember in the mind of their own body of knowledge, in our feet, in our ovaries, our testicles, in our heart, in our mind, and in our brain, but most essentially in our mind, that the heart is the center of. We would remember this crossroads, this old sign of the cross that so many have claimed, and these marks of our tupuna, that this is where these modalities of learning, where the healer, the dancer, the gardener, the artist, the creative one, where the scientist, where all these modalities of our being are converging. And when this is, of course it's going to be difficult when they converge, because these polarities are extreme to this. But that's the place of adversity, and that's what I believe we've given this beautiful opportunity to practice our creative juice and what really is love. You know, if you can leave the hum when you leave, if you can leave an old footprint warm, then you've done everything. You've left the memory alive.
Mike, you speak so eloquently of simplicity and inclusiveness, and that everything needs to be grassroots as it comes into being.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when with myself and Kay Baxter, she's an extraordinary woman in this land in terms of our heritage seeds, when we carried the memory of the seed throughout this land because of genetic engineering, and we walked in a time of great sadness because we'd gone to all the royal commissions to try and look after the seed, not just the seed of the garden of this earth, but our seed that they want to interfere with. And I love my disposition. I love my warts, my ache, my wobble. Wouldn't swap it for nothing. It's been my teacher. And, you know, when we walked down through the land and we went to Reringa Wairua, to Cape Reinga, and we fired seed stones at play, and we gathered and we began this walk all the way to Parliament. And we only walked as far as Taupo because we felt in ourselves that the head of the fish, Wellington, doesn't listen to the heart or the belly or the tail. So we only walked to Taupo, Nuiorangi, and we anchored it there. And all the way, it was such a relief, Tim, because quietly everywhere, people came to meet us on the Marae community centres, environmental centres, everywhere. And these were gardeners. And they came and met with us, and we exchanged seeds, seeds of knowledge, seeds of skills, and seeds of awareness. And all the way we realised that quietly, 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 there was this amazing tribe gardening the roots of the tree. You see, quantum change doesn't happen in the head of the tree. The head of the tree just thinks. Change comes from the gardeners, quietly working away, the healers, the creative minds, gardening away the roots of the seed. The seed has that wisdom. It puts its roots out first to stand strong before it even pushes up one little wee shoot, one leaf, one branch. It takes time to bear fruit, and that's what quantum shift is. All of a sudden people think, oh look, there's a whole new fruit on the tree. But that new fruit, like a phoenix rising out of fire, was born not by some wishful just thinking and talking. It came by the diligence and the mana, the integrity of gardeners, quietly gardening the seed, watering the seed, giving it compost, nurturing it to put roots out into this earth like a child. That one day a new leaf would be born. A new branch. And we're in this time now. This tree of knowledge that all our ancestors talked to is beginning to push through the earth. And of course there are those who want to trample it back down because they want to have control. They want to have their supermarket chains, their institutions. They don't want to enter into a realm that is beyond control. They don't want to because they want to be in charge of the money, this external wealth. They've lost the wisdom of mana, integrity, where a greater authority lies within us all and without us all. And that we are birthed into the privilege of uniqueness. And yet each one of us is nothing new. We're just a different shape of the same stuff, given an amazing privilege to garden this back.
Mike, as I mentioned, you are affectionately known as the Waterman, and you baptize your creations with water. Can you tell our listeners a little more about water and the sacredness of it? Because it covers so many areas of our being.
Well, first of all, I'd just like to share with you how my belief in ordinariness occurs. And you might have to just put me back on track a little bit here, Tim. But however, this does demonstrate a lot to me. My concern of what was happening to water came out of being a part of defending water for years and having to go deeper and deeper to see what is the ecology of this water. What is the water cycle? Wow, that simple thing, the water cycle. And deeper and deeper it took me into a world of understanding that water has a profound ability. It's the homeopathy of origin. And when water has come through that whole cycle, not half a cycle, but the whole cycle, it carries the memory of the stars. A lot of people don't realize that water is still being seeded onto this planet from the whole of the universe. We don't realize that in the storm, the megatons of energy that cleanse the water molecule and impart an amazing vibration. We don't realize how water moves vortexually in these two vortexes, literally, the matriarchal and the patriarchal energy of vortex. We don't realize, we've forgotten that when it comes into the ecologies, it lifts the homeopathy of the plants. And believe it or not, but Kōwhai and Rimu impart the memory of homeopathy at exactly the right time of the year that we need it. And then there's the song of the birds, the vibration, and all of the creatures. And then where it goes deep down into the earth center, the geothermal, how it touches the center of this Mother Earth of Gaia and lifts the mineralizations, mineral water, waters of life. And then it begins a process of moving from the spring to the stream to the river to the sea. And the whole mixing process, the dynamics of these opposite vortex are all the way in the memory of the stream and how it is tumbled and taken into chaos. Chaos is a critical state of creativity. Uniqueness is birthed back out of that. And how that water greets the inanga, the little white bait, and tunaroa, the long eel, and kura, the crayfish, and all the memory of these creatures, and then comes all the way back to the sea, the collective water. And that we're water being. If our water is well, then we are well. And I kind of love the craziness of English words, like we say, like in this land, kia. And that's greeting your well-being. It's not just g'day, mate. It's greeting your whole well-being of life. And even in English, we say, are you well today? Well, have a think of that. Are you well today? Are you of the source of life today? The spring. Our old people knew the wisdom of the well, origin of birth. And that's how we're greeting one another. Are you well today? And so deeper and deeper into those realms I began to see, and I took a work of art as a challenge to a high court hearing with the Waikato Regional Council about water rights and multinational mining, and I decided I did this work of art. The elders had a great confidence in me that I could access this, and I did, and I won't go into the depth of that story, it's a huge story, but what happened was I ended up doing a work of art in a tribunal hearing that was given to me by the water. It was just there. I was just crazy enough to go into another world, especially because my elders and the women held my hands and said, you can do this. My wife, Min, she always called me her magnificent obsession, and I can hear her laughing now. And the obsession is in that realm where, you know, if you look after the little stuff, the big stuff looks after itself, and that's what you have to do in creativity. And in that, I remember the head of the minerals industry coming up to me, and he said, that's extraordinary. He said, have you had that filmed and documented? And I said, no, this is the first time I've ever seen it. I'd just come out of the bush, and I was carrying a water jar with me. And the Māori elders in the hearing saw this, and they began to tangi, and they began to mihi waiata. And they came around me and held me because they realized I was standing there naked within myself, carrying water. And I remember this beautiful man, he was in charge of the environmental program. He said, Mike, he said, that's just extraordinary. He said, that needs to be documented. And I said, yeah, well, it is now, isn't it? It's sitting in this court of law. And I've journeyed you all because it was important that we share this with one another. This belongs to us all. And he said, to be quite honest, Mike, he said, couldn't you bugger off back to Ireland with this and not hang around here? It's a bit of a nuisance bringing stuff up like this. And I turned to him and I realized he was Welsh. And I said, my dear brother, this story belongs to your ancestors. And we're here to share this with you and with this multinational industry because what happens to our water here happens to your water. This is one water. And we have a responsibility to heal with these waters, all of us collectively together. And so we have a responsibility. And the elders there, they held a mihi to this, a huge support to this. And to it, the big support of Wairu of Spirit and Aroha, and they passed it across to this huge multinational who was digging into their sacred taonga, their sacred mountains. And they had the humbleness to pass to them an understanding that we have a responsibility to challenge you here. For me, my position, I realize now, was I walk the space between these worlds. That's what the old people said. Walk the space between as a communicator. And now in the bigger realm, I realize in a communicator of two polarities of an earth that is spinning in opposite directions. These polarities. And that's where I was able to draw from, a space in between. And that's not my words. Those are the words of the old people. So in the ordinariness of my work, I kind of love that at about that time, Auckland decided to stick a big steel straw across the Pukekohe Hills down into my birth river, Waikato, and it really upset me. I didn't like their arrogance. However, I could sit in their ignorance that they just did not know. For Auckland's got heaps of water, but we are atrocious at how we respect what is disrespect to the waters of life. There's plenty of water here. It's given to you all year. Waters of life from the sky. And we have a responsibility to look after that. So when Auckland stuck this big steel straw across our mountains to lift the waters of Waikato, my birth river, upset me so much I started to make these little clay water jars, you know? Because I felt everybody needed one. Everybody needed one. And what came from that ordinary little act is those water jars have carried water all over this world. It's a book, really, Tim. I'm being challenged at the moment, maybe, to write some words down, but it's a book. And I didn't realise then that I had entered a world of a water carrier. And this land, where the old people would say, Waitaha Nui Tō, the big world of the water carriers that we all are. I realised I tapped into a memory that belongs to us all. Kia ora e hoa.
The interesting thing is New Zealand Waitangi Day is the 6th of February. 6th of February is in the middle of the sign of Aquarius.
Yeah.
And the Aquarius is the water bearer or the water carrier.
That's right.
So you are fulfilling your destiny.
Well, you know, Milefire Wiki, whenever they would call me onto the Maroa and around this country for years, I've carried the memory of water and offshore around the world. And she would always finish at the end of a presentation, you would call it, at a hui. She'd always say, well, Koro, you did no wrong. And Koro, you did no right. And that brings you immediately back into the world of ordinariness. To know that now I'm older now, I'm a grandfather to this. I have many, many children, not by birth, but by origin, all over this planet. We are grandfathers and grandmothers. And that this is my job. I'm older now, and I'm prepared. And since the woman of my life, and she was a fish woman, born of those signs, yeah, the signs are everywhere, Tim. They're everywhere. They are speaking to us right at this time, that as what my old father would say, atua, 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 it's time, it is time, it is time for us to live this memory that is within us all. And now I can be accepting, and I know I'm nothing. I know I'm nothing, and that's what I love. But what I also know alongside that is that I am a part of everything. I'm a part of everything, but I'm nothing. And I feel so blessed to be born in this time that we are given this privilege to respond. What a privilege, Tim. Eh?
Very profound. That's fantastic. Particularly as you are a worker in clay, so you make this vessel and it's empty inside, yet you can pour water in,
yeah,
to tell your story.
You know, Tim, as a clay worker, because I run schools in clay all around this country, and as I said, I was the guest at the national conference here just 2 weeks ago, and I remind my fellow clay workers, and this is deeply metaphorical, you know, the organic acids in clay are the building blocks of deoxyribonucleic acid, our DNA. The memory of our origin is in the clay. And when we hear our old people in this land, Te Hei Mauri Ora, I breathe life into this clay, you'll read into scriptures, old people would say we are the landscapes of our soul, shaped through the clay. Yeah. We are beings of clay, of the memory of origin.
Bad, eh? Really interesting, because Genesis, the 2.7, the story of God,
yeah,
molding us out of clay.
Yeah.
And breathing,
yeah,
into our nostrils,
yeah,
the breath of life,
yeah,
and we became a living soul, a,
yeah,
living being.
Yeah, and we can go through every realm. The tragedy is that when one of those realms became institutionalized and began to think it owned that knowledge, and that's when we had a problem. And also, I believe, although it was all perfect and it's happening, we had these teachers where matriarch and patriarch separated, but we're in a time of those two realms coming back together. And what is the trilogy? You know, I believe that. And that's not religion. I'm talking all sorts of languages here. You know?
Yes. Mike, fantastic.
Yeah.
What you've offered up, it allows us to be stronger but more gentle.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, Tim, and I just like to finish. We have a song back home. It is called E Tuka Hikitea from the old people. It was gifted to us years ago and talks about the kākatea standing so strong and so tall in the wetlands, and that it can do that because its roots entwine and its branches entwine, like us. And maybe I'd just like to finish with that waiata and a little mihi back to my mountains and hauraki and the elders.
E tuka hikitea, e whakapae ororo, a whi mai
Hauraki, all of the mountains of Hauraki. Moehau ki whaaro ki ta aroha, ki karanga haki, ki ngā maunga tupuna pukiwa, Hauraki, ki ta maunga whakamoehau. From all of our mountains of Moehau, Pairoa means the long range of mountains, to Te Aroha, the mountain, to Karangahaki of Satuko, to our mountains of Pukewa, which most people now know as Martha Mine and Waihi, our beautiful ancient mountains of Aorangi, Aoraki, and to our mountain Whakamoehau, which talks back to Moehau at the tip of the Coromandel Peninsula that we know as Ki Te Tara o Te Kamau. The spike of that old fish. Ki ngā awa, Waitakauri, Waitawhita, Ohena Mori, ki Waihau, ki te awa iti o Taraariki, ki te Waihau, ki te tikapu moana, ki te moana nui akiwa. From all of those rivers to the sea. Ki ngā tupuna to all our ancestors, ki ngā tupuna Hauraki, ki ngā iwi o Hauraki, ki te whānau o Hauraki. Kia ora koutou, te mihi āroha, te mihi wairua, te ihi te wehi. Kia ora ngā whaia ngā mātua, te whai kōrero, te wairua, te āroha. And all the work that you have held and the sacredness that you have held, that we as children may come back into to remember the wisdom of what is this old, old fish in its memory, these waters, these mountains. We are so grateful to be remembered of this old world to which we all belong. Ki tau Māori. Kia ora koutou.
That was Mike O'Donnell, the Waterman. I would like to draw your attention to the Green Planet Earth Files. This is a section of this program that covers points of interest that you, as listeners, can become involved. This way, the Green Planet program can facilitate positive options to bring about reducing our ecological footprint, acting in truly sustainable ways, and work towards becoming more carbon neutral. Earth Files for this week. New Zealand not for sale. Please write down www.cafca.org.nz. cafca.org.nz. This is the campaign against foreign control of Aotearoa, CAFCA. It believes that the independence of most countries globally has been eroded away. This erosion has taken place because most of the world's economy is now owned and controlled by a very small number of huge transnational corporations. And behind them is a very corrupted banking system that is still managing to pull the strings of government. So check this out. Note that foreign investment or ownership of companies in New Zealand increased from 9.7 billion in 1989 to 82.7 billion in September 2006, over a 700% increase. And also note that foreign owners now control 41% of the share market, whereas in 1989 the figure was 19%. I also encourage you to be able to look at website tppwatch.org. tppwatch.org. This is the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement and the dangers it poses to the New Zealand economy, to our very democracy. It's all been agreed to in secret. It is the privatisation of public assets, the relentless takeover of New Zealand businesses and land by transnational corporations, and the reabsorption of New Zealand into the United States Empire, and most importantly, how we, the New Zealand people, can fight back. It's too important to be left up to the politicians. That's Earth Files for this week. At 9.05 Thursday, this program is streamed from the Planet FM studios on planetaudio.org.nz/greenplanet. For iPod and streaming, it can be obtained 6 hours after broadcasting on greenplanetfm.com, holisticliving.co.nz/greenplanetfm.html, and itunes.com, search health. You can also follow Green Planet on Twitter at twitter.com/greenplanetfm and facebook.com/greenplanetfm.